for natural food. I'm just thankful that God can feed us from His table. He certainly can. Got a red Bible this morning. If it ain't R-E-D, it ought to be R-E-A-D.
Amen.
Got a Bible in your hand, you ought to read it.
Yeah.
If you ain't ashamed of it, I just hold it up and rattle the pages a little bit. The devil, serve notice on him that you ain't traded your Bible in for one of them perverted books. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church, good to be around God's people. God's people's the best people to be around.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot of people that needs to be saved. The majority of the people's on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're dying, going to hell. And don't even realize it. But yet, God sent His Son, paid the price that they could take and be saved. And go to heaven when this life is over. Turn with me, if you will. I'll just be just a few minutes. I know these old bodies get tired. And some traveled yesterday. Some in service all day Sunday. And some folks want to eat. Brother Epps usually preaches before dinner or after dinner. But anyway, he says he liked that spot. But anyway, we'll just read a verse or two here. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 22, 1 Samuel chapter number 22, I had another little thought on my heart, but I believe this is where the Lord would have us here just for a few minutes. In 1 Samuel chapter number 22, we'll just read a verse or two here. The Bible said in verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter number 22, it said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that's in discontent. Sounds about like our day, don't it? People just so messed up, distressed, just stressed out, I'm telling you. In debt up to their eyeballs, discontent, can't. Even a lot of God's people can't enjoy church when they come. I mean, they're just loaded down. And the Bible said everyone that was distressed and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontent gathered themselves unto him, unto David. And he became a captain over them. There were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. He said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. I'll stop off reading there. May God add His blessings to the reading of His precious word this morning. I want to use that little phrase there in verse number 3, the last part of verse number 3, where he said, till I know what God will do for me. And I want to preach this morning, do you know what God will do for you? Why, it's already been said, there's a lot of people who don't even know, Brother Rick, they don't even know who God is in the day that we live. The brother was talking about, you know, people not even knowing the books of the Bible. A lot of folks don't even know what the Bible is, let alone what God is, who God is. Brother Rains, Brother Perry has been going over to, a rehab house out there in Manchester, Kentucky, and they've got about 17 folks there, I think, when they got a full house, and I got some Bibles laid out on the altar, and we prayed over them. I'll tell you, on a Wednesday night, before he went on a Thursday night, that God take them Bibles, and I use them for them people, and so they got over there, had to tell them what it was, a Bible, had to tell them how to use how the Bible, how the Old Testament, New Testament, and I said one lady was there. I got one part ladies, one part men. I had said one lady wouldn't know what hell was. She'd use that word as a bad word, as a cuss word. Didn't even know what hell was. But I'll tell you, God knows. God said in Matthew chapter number 25, hell I was not made for mankind. Hell was made not for the devil and his angels, but everyone out there that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ ends up. I give them that awful place. Have them cause hell. Hey, friend, we've turned them to a heathen nation. We've turned them to a heathen nation. Thank God for a little remnant of people that saved. How by the grace of God. And I'm glad God's got people still proclaiming the precious word of God and telling people how they can get saved. But there's one way to get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Do you know what Jesus will do to you? Do you know what God can do for you? David was here. Little foundation here. David was here. He's running from Saul. The people said, we want a king. God sent the man of God, Brother Patton, all. Tell them, don't need a king. They said, we want a king. Why they want a king? They said they wanted to be like everybody else. I think that's one of our problems. Today, people wants to be like everybody else. It's still being what God wants us to be. They said, so God said, all right, tell them, I'll give them a king. And so Saul was a shoulder and head taller than everybody else. God let Saul be the king, and how God sent him down out there to take and destroy the place. I don't bring anything out. And lo, here he comes. I bring the king out. I said, this ain't the best. For sacrifice, I'm going to take. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so God said, I'll take the kingdom away from you. So he's giving it to David, jealousy up in his heart. And now, I'll tell you, here he is. I'll tell you, having escaped for his life. And he comes to this place. I'll tell you, to Moab, the king of Moab. And he said, let my father, I can my mother stay here. Like he said, till I know what God will do for me. Maybe we ought to find us a place and stay there till we know what God can do for us and do with us. I want to tell you, God is still in the doing business. He's not run out. I'm going to tell you, God can still do what he said that he can do. I begin to read here and study. I thought, God, if you do something for David, show me what you're doing for him. I thank God you don't respect a person. You can do it for us. And so I got to looking here. I give him these three or four chapters here. And got to look him. I give verse number 23. Chapter number 22. I notice what he said here. I give in verse number 22. How the fire comes to David. And so David tells him in verse number 23. He said, abide thou with me. I fear not, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh your life. Like he said, now when you read and study your Bible, David's a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said he messed up. Yes, he did. But God said he's a man after my own heart. And so he's a type and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, have a fire, he that's after my life, is after your life. But he said, stay here with me. I'm glad God's got a place for us, ain't you? I praise his name. And then look what he said. He said, but with me thou shalt be against safeguard. I said, praise the Lord. I got to looking in my concordance. Brother Rains, and that word safeguard's in the Bible one time. Right here in this verse, one time in the Bible, somebody said, well, it's not in there a lot. No, it's not. How many times would God have to put it in there to get you to believe it? And so he said, stay here with me, and you'll be in safeguard. So I said, praise God. That's what God will do for you. Put you in safeguard. So I got my dictionary down and start looking up that word, safeguard. And so I begin to take and write it down. And so a safeguard means this. It said safekeeping. I said, praise God. I'm glad I'm in safekeeping for the glory of God. One definition, send me help. I'm glad I'm not keeping myself. I'm glad I've got somebody that's a lot bigger than me and a lot bigger than you to take and keep me with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. One definition said to protect. I'm glad I'm protected. I praise the Lord this morning that he's able to take Hey, keep us safe. I get him. Well, praise the Lord. And so it said, guarded him. And so I'm thankful how that God will take and put us in safeguard. What I'm saying is, what's already been said, he's able to take. I said, save you and keep you. I said, praise the Lord this morning. No wonder people get happy when they get saved. And they, hey, after you get saved, are you still happy? After you get saved, them people says, happy, happy, happy. And they don't know what happiness is. I thank God, hey, how they say them poor people, Brother Richard, have them poor people. I give the night at the house of God again. I give it on Tuesday morning. I praise God this morning. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to, hey, I'm happy to be in the family of God. I'm happy to be on my way to heaven. I'm going to tell you, God can take and save you and put you in safeguard. Amen. What I'm saying is, God can give you a home in heaven. Now, don't people laugh at you, make fun of you. I've had people tell me, how they say, well, preacher, how you know there's heaven? Have you ever been there? I said, well, if I'd been there, I wouldn't be here. Amen. I praise God. I know there's a heaven because he said there was. When he went away, I tell you, they followed him out to the mount, and all of a sudden he started going up, Brother Epps, and he kept going up, and he kept going up, and finally the clouds received him out of sight. 2 men in white apparel. I said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing at this same Jesus that you see go away? It's coming again. I can't like matter, amen. Have you ever been put in safeguard? Amen. What I'm saying is, he'll give you a home in heaven. I'll tell you, a beautiful place. Forever and ever and ever. Somebody said, what if you don't get saved? Then there's only one other place you go to. It's an awful place. The place called hell. And you'll be there forever and ever and ever. I will be up there ever and ever and ever to be with Jesus. But you'll be down there over and over and ever. I get torment, awful place. And you'll never be able to get out without Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't like it. I don't want to be around it. Well, just keep going the way you're going. There's a place for you, amen. So I got to thinking that God will put you in safeguard. Now, there's a lot of people knows about right guard. There's a lot of people knows about Scotch guard. But not too many people know about safeguard. Right guard, Scotch guard takes care of the outside. Safeguard takes care of it on the inside. I thank God. I'm glad. I didn't know when I got saved that night. I'll tell you, last Sunday, July 1963, I went across 790 down Dennis Lane. I'll tell you, go to the house, tell my mom what God done for me. I swung open the screen door. She's coming out of the kitchen, that little old shack of the house we lived in. She stopped me and said, hey, she called me Bud. She said, do you feel any better? I didn't know what to tell. I know there's something different. I never felt like that before. I said, praise the Lord. That guilt of dying and going to hell gone. I'll tell you, that load that was on me gone. I'll tell you, I just felt as light as a feather clean on the inside. Never felt like that before. How you tell somebody like that? Hey, it's better felt than told, amen. Well, let me hurry. Number one, I got to looking at the scripture. I thought, I'll tell you what the Lord will do for you. He'll put you in safeguard. Praise the Lord that God can save our soul and put us in the family of God, and people don't even know that. Well, about the only way we're going to know it, if we tell it. Remember that maniac in Mark chapter number 5 that they couldn't do nothing with? I believe we got some of them down there in Kentucky. I believe I met some of them that go to the cemetery, run, scream, holler like a wild man. I'll tell you, take his clothes off. But one day, Jesus come by, and the Bible said that that when they come and looked, like he was clothed in his right mind, out there sat at the feet of Jesus, I worship him. Somebody said, what up? He got put in safeguard. Amen. Hey, got put in safeguard. And I'll tell them, people said, Jesus, depart from us. We don't want you around us. And I'll tell you, Jesus, I just began to leave. But I believe that man that was a maniac, I said, Lord, let me go with you. Please, Lord, let me go with you. He said, you can't go now, but I will come back and get you. But he said, you go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And watch this, Brother Raines. The Bible said he went through the whole city of Decapolis. I'm telling folks what God had done for him. I said, praise the Lord. Ain't it wonderful this morning that we've got something to tell? I wonder what it'd be. Listen, if people got stirred up here at Victory Baptist Church and started going through the whole city of Greenville. Listen, Indiana. I guess that's where we're at. Greenville, Indiana. Listen, telling everybody what the Lord had done for you. Amen. Somebody said, people, preacher, they think we're crazy. They do anyway. Yeah. Amen. Might as well go plumb off for the glory of God. You ought to try it sometime. I thought about the little place we live in, Brother Epps. Listen, just taking a day, day and a half, 2 days, it's whatever it takes. Listen, start one morning and not stop till get through, going through the whole place of Launceston, knocking on every door, telling people what God done for me. And if it don't answer the door, I just jump up and down, beat on the door, and say, Jesus, save me, and put me in safeguard. I'm in the family of God. I'm in safekeeping, amen. Amen. Safekeeping. Oh, glory God. Hey, David said, Abathar said, you stay here with me. He that's after your life's after my life, but me, you'll be in safeguard. Well, let me show you the second thing. Look in chapter number 23. In chapter number 23, verse number 16, the Bible said, and Jonathan, the son of Saul, come to find his friend, and Saul and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Not only will he put you in safeguard, do you know what God will do for you today? Not only will he put you in safeguard, but I tell you, God will give you strength. Hey, that can only come from God. You're sitting here this morning, you've been saved after a while. I tell you, hey, there's probably each one of us could stand and testify this morning that God has given you strength that you didn't know you had. I'll tell you, I've heard people talk and testify about the strength that only God can take and give. I'll tell you, individual, I'll tell you, I'm thankful today that God is still giving strength. There's a lot of people think that God's lost some of his strength. In 2015, God's lost some of his power and some of his strength. Yeah, and he's powerful. I want to tell you, he's as powerful as he's always been. He's still sitting on his throne. He's still in control. He's still in charge. Ain't nothing took him by surprise. And I'll tell you, he's still able to take and strengthen his children. I'll tell you, to get things done for his honor and his glory. I won't turn there and read it, but you remember that. When the enemy was coming up after God's children and little Gideon was there, I'll tell you, the threshing floor, and God told him, said, I'm going to use you. I get the people together, and they got 32,000. I'll tell you, men together. God said, you got too many, had about 12,000, I guess. So many left, and God says, you still got too many. I'll tell you, I've got upset. I've been worried too. But I'll tell you, Gideon, he said, take them down there by the brook, and those that laps up water like a dog, he said, them will be the ones that you take. And I'll tell you, 300 was all that did. And I can see him take and say, Lord, don't get upset, and put the fleece out. And he said, let it be. I meant to let it be dry all around, and let the fleece have water, and got up the next morning and wrung, I'll tell you, full, full out. And he said, Lord, don't be upset with me. Let it be dry and dew all around it. I'm going to tell you, hey, God give him strength how to take and win the victory and the battle. I didn't even have to do anything except shout and break. preacher, amen. People think God can't do things today like in the day we live. Hang on, friend. We're getting ready to see some things. I believe there's a days ahead that God's going to do for His people. Amen. They think they're going to do away with a little place over at Israel. Can I tell you, God's took care of His people. I thank God that you, as His people, somebody said, what are you? I'm a Jew, amen. I've been adopted. I'm a Jew, amen. Like in the eyes of God, and if God will take care of them, He'll take care of us. Can I tell you this morning, don't fret and get upset about what's going on. I said, God still got strength, and if God can feed a man of God by a brook when a famine's in the land and bringing flesh and bread in the morning and flesh and bread of any God, I will take care of us and strengthen us. Amen. Praise His name. Need some strength this morning? Remember a little fella called Samson? I'll tell you, Nazarite. I'll tell you that that God said was going to be. And I believe he's just a normal fella. But when God would come upon him, I'll tell you, could take a jawbone of a donkey, and I'll tell you, pick it up and kill 1,000 with it. Somebody said, how can that be? I won't tell you, can't do it within yourself. But when the strength of God comes upon you, you can do it. And I'll tell you, they thought they'd taken, I'd trick him up. And I'll tell you, they laid in wait for him. And I'll tell you that night, the Bible said he went down out to the gates of the city. That's in the posts, the gates and all. I just picked him up and carried him and set him down on the top of the hill. Somebody said, how can a person do it? I don't understand it. But I'll tell you, God does some things that we don't understand. God can strengthen you. Amen. Give you strength that you didn't even know you had. Look here. God can give you strength to overcome the temptation that comes your way. Somebody said, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You done it because you want to. Because God will give you strength. I'll tell you to overcome it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, down there in Kentucky, I've heard him say, Brother John, God ain't going to put more upon you than you can bear. I've said that myself. But I'll tell you in the context of the scripture, he's a talking about temptation. Hey, just because we're saved, we're not exempt. I'll tell you, from temptation, temptation's going to come. But God said, with every temptation, such as common to man, He said, God will make and give you the strength to make a way to escape if you want it. If you want it. Most people don't want it. And I'll tell you, God, I can give you strength to overcome the sins of this old world. I thank God this world ain't a home anymore. After He put us in safeguard, this world's not a home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I thank God for the strength that God can give you to overcome the sins of this old world. Somebody said, but you're still here. Yes, I am. But I could be gone before the day's over. Yeah. And I'm thankful that the stuff of this world don't have no hold on me. Amen. I'm telling you, God can give you strength to overcome temptation. God can give you strength over the sins. I'll tell you, this world, and God can give you strength. I'll tell you, over the weakness of this flesh. I'm thankful that God can take and give you the strength that you know how that you can do, how to carry on for Him. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I don't understand it, Brother Harvey, how God can take and save a person and put it in a man's heart to go to China, the communist country, to go there, tell people about Jesus, to get saved. I wouldn't want to go. Thank God, I tell you, I'm glad God left me here in the United States of America. Amen. But I tell you, it amazes me. Every time I hear this man preach, every time I get around him and talk to him, I tell you, every time that I'm in service with him, Brother Rick, I tell you, you can tell where his heart is. His heart is where God wants him to be. I tell you, me and Brother Sexton and his wife, me and my wife went a year before last there in New Mexico, and that fella that had to come out of old Mexico. Brother Sexton sitting there at that table. I'll tell you, he wasn't eating much. Had tears running down his face. I'll tell you, he wanted to go back in out to that country. Where they put a bounty on his head. And he had to come out. Can I tell you how that's and why will make a person want to do that? I'll tell you, when God can strengthen you and give you power. I'll tell you, over this old flesh, that you don't worry about it anymore. That you got to see God's work done than anything else. Praise God. I'm telling you how God gives them the strength how to take and do it. I'll tell you what God will do. God will put you in safeguard. But when he puts you in safeguard, he'll give you the strength that you need. Ain't that one? Well, let me give you this last and I'll be done. Look, if you will, on in chapter number 24. He said, let my father and my mother stay here till I know what God will do for me. Look, if you would, in chapter number 24, I'd like to take the time to read all these 22 verses, but I won't take time to do it. But look, if you would, now David is gone to the cave, and he's in there. Now Saul comes in the cave too, him and his men, and I don't know, I tell you, they got down there. Saul must have been tired and wore out, and he fell asleep. And I believe David went over there. I don't know where it was at. Brother Patton, all and them men that was with. David said, "Go ahead, kill him, David. Take him out." And David said, "No, we can't do that." And I believe some of them. Said, "David, if you can't, let me. He's your enemy. Take him out, David. Let me. Take him out." And this is what he said. He said, "You cannot touch God's anointed." Better leave your hands off a man of God. Better leave your mouth off of him too. And I thought David, I went and cut, I tell you, the hem, I tell you, off his garment, and he repented. I've even done that. But here comes the next morning now, and I'll tell you, David, I'll tell you, on the hillside, and Saul comes out, and David begins to take and say, "Hey, Saul," he said, "is that the voice of David?" Ain't it wonderful this morning? And somebody's already mentioned there in the book of John, chapter number 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow." I thank God this morning for the voice out of God, the powerful voice. And David said, "Saul," he said, "is that the voice of David?" And he said, "Hey, Saul, look here." Yeah. Begin to take and show him. I'll tell you, that piece that he cut off of his garment. Look in verse number 17, chapter number 24. And he said, Saul said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Look in verse number 19. "For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore, the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day." In other words, what Saul was saying, "David, you showed me goodness. You showed me goodness when I was after you, and I was after your life." And he said, "You showed me goodness." Ain't it wonderful this morning that we have a God that shows goodness, and that to us, that used to be a family that come to Brother Duncan's meeting. I can't even, Brother Tackett and his family, and every time they get up to sing, he'd say this. He'd say, "God is good." And the people would say, "All the time." And he'd say, "All the time." And they'd say, "God is good." Can I tell you this morning, you know why we're here today? It's because of the goodness of God. I say, praise the Lord, for the goodness that God can take and bestow upon his children. Why, preacher? Because we're in his safeguard, amen. And he shows us our goodness. So I got my dictionary down. I looked up that word goodness. I thought I know what it meant, but this is what the dictionary said. It said kindness. I say, thank the Lord for the kindness of God. One definition said, mercy. Ain't you glad today that God showed you mercy? He's still giving you what you needed. And one definition said, how gracious. I thank God for the grace of God. One definition said, I said, honest. And one said, one definition said, that this, that virtue. And so I got to thinking, I mentioned about virtue, and I got to thinking about that woman with issue of blood, had it 12 years, went to every doctor she could, and the Bible said she grew worse and grew worse, but hey, she heard about Jesus coming along the way, and she said, if I could get out of where I could touch the hem of his garment, everything I will be all right. So she started going that way. And when she got there, Brother Sexton, the Bible said there's a crowd around Jesus, and said she had to press through the crowd. I think she had to get down on her hands and her knees and crawl. I believe she got her hands stepped on. I believe she got her fingers stepped on. But she got to where she could touch a hem of his garment. And the Bible says she backed up and knowed everything was all right. And Jesus said, somebody touch me.
Amen.
They used to sing that old song back years ago. Somebody touch me. And the disciples said, why, Lord, have these people thrown in you? And you said, somebody touched you. And he said, yes, somebody touched me. Watch this. They said, how'd you know somebody touched me? He said, somebody touched me because the virtue went out of me. In other words, the goodness of God come out of him. I get to her, thank God. And she went home a shouting the praise of God. I say, thank the Lord today. You wouldn't even know how to repent if it hadn't been the goodness of God. You know, preacher, let's Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. I said, it's the goodness of God to lead you to repentance. Hallelujah. For the goodness of God. Amen. Sitting in the second seat back from the front out there in the old Boston Baptist Church. When I look back on it now, I'll tell you, you know what it was? I guess the goodness of God. I've been to church many of a time as a little lad, but I'll tell you, that time was different. Somebody said, what's wrong? I guess getting ready for the goodness of God to come out of him. I get to me, amen. I said, thank the Lord today for the goodness of God that can change us and make a new creature and put us in safeguard. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Well, praise his name for his goodness today. Maybe we ought to call for reset and shout a little while and then go out there beside the road and do some rapture drills. Amen. Hallelujah. And practice a little bit. And somebody stop and say, what's wrong with you crazy people? I just tell them we're getting ready to leave. Amen. Hey, we can leave anytime. We're going to a place. Thank God. Somebody said, you're going up. Yes, sir. We're going up, up, up and away to be with him. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 25, verse number 7, said, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Ain't it wonderful this morning that God is remembering us for Jesus' sake? He's just good, preacher. Hallelujah. No wonder you can get excited and jump up and down, shake your glasses out of your pocket. I tell you, women used to take and shout their hair down. I tell you, thank God. I know we're not supposed to live in the past, but I'm glad I got some days back there. I listen in the 70s and 80s that I can go back to when people weren't ashamed. How to shout out for the goodness of God. I listen, they'd stand and tell what God had do for them. Hey, they weren't ashamed. How did God put them in safeguard? And brother Evans give them strength. I thank God to leave liquor alone and to drop the drugs. I thank God quit whoring around and come to the house of God. I'll let you enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. For the goodness of God. Amen. Somebody said, what's the problem? They just ain't got a good taste of it yet. Oh, taste. and see the Lord's good. I thank God once you get a good taste of it, and nothing else I do, praise God. I'm going to tell you the things of the world. I'll let you have no effect upon you. I'll let you, somebody said you can go back. You might go back out there, but you'll never be satisfied. You'll be like fish without the water. You'll just be flopping out which way. You'll be like ice without a freezer. You'll just melt away. Nothing else satisfies. I like the goodness of God. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody said, what does it taste like? It tastes like honey. Sweeter than honey. Have the honeycomb. Amen. Hey, look up here. You know what God will do for you today? He'll do more than a preacher can take him to. He can do more than the church can do. Huh? He can do more than your mom and dad can do. Matter of fact, he is the only one that can do it. Brother talked about him going in there with that karate and fung hu or whatever what it was. And I tell you, they've got them what's it called, power teams. I tell you, bringing them weights in and cracking them concrete blocks. Praise God, I tell you, I got something better than that. Won't you let Jesus break you down. I'll tell you, come to an old-fashioned altar. I'll tell you, get in tune with Him. I'll tell you, you won't worry about concrete blocks and a kicking high, thank God. I'll tell you, God will bless you in such a way you'll never be the same. I'm glad God I can still show His goodness today. Sometimes there in the paper, they'll run an ad in the paper about a resume, wanting you to send out a resume to take and join the worship team, praise team. And I told my wife, I said, well, of course, I don't know how to even fix out a resume, but I'd get her to help me and let her print it out on the computer, some little professional, you know, and take and see if I can't join one of them teams. Praise God. Hey, get around them. Now, some of you probably get upset at me, but here 2 or 3 years ago, there's a church called, wanted me to come preach a homecoming. And I was asking some questions about the church, and they called another evangelist. I won't call his name. Some of you probably know him. And said he was going to come. He was going to come and said that he got his dates crossed up. I said, well, if he's going to come, I got that Sunday morning open, it'd probably be all right. I said, yeah, I'll come preach homecoming for him. So we got over there, Brother Raines, and it's supposed to be Independent Baptist Church. And under God, they had a big bus out there. I had a big group up here with all the instruments, and I'm not down on instruments. I like to play them myself, and I'm talking about had all kinds of stuff. They act like these professionals, I guess they might have been. Matter of fact, they was from Indiana. And they's from a church of God. And I thought, why in the world would they have that in the Independent Baptist Church? Well, that's between them, Lord. I kind of got through that. Brother Wells, this is what got me. After they sat down, the pastor got up there and said, we're going to have the youth group up. And said they're going to do some interpretive praise. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I've never heard that in Independent Baptist Church. I thought, interpretive praise. And so they got up there, I guess it's what, 12 or 15 up there, and they had that canned music and started going. My wife was gouging me. She said, you're going to leave. I said, sit still. She said, you're going to leave. You're going to leave. I said, sit still. And they got to doing their thing. Honest for God, before they got through, when they got through, they bowed. Those little young ladies, you could see their underwear. I know we're in a mixed congregation. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I'm just telling you, honest God, truth. I'm telling you, it's a shame that we've got so far that our churches is in such a mess. Brother, no wonder we can't go out there and get them, because God ain't got the ones that's in the church. I believe with all my heart, and I'm not trying to get critical I'll tell you, I'm getting ready to close, but I'll tell you, I believe we've got people sitting in our congregation that's lost and undone without God. I tell you, their mind's not on God. They've never given their heart to God. Only thing there is their mind. I'll tell you, it's on the things of the world. And what they want to do, they want to bring the things of the world back in the house of God, and it won't work. It just won't work. I'll tell you, on Sunday mornings, I've been in some of them. They've turned God's church in out to a coffee shop and a donut shop. I'll tell you, they put ATM machines. I'll tell you, in church. I want to tell you, friend, God never intended it to be like that. Somebody said, well, we've got a different generation on our hand. That's right. We've got a generation on our hand that don't know God, that don't want to know God. They're satisfied in their sins, and we're trying to get them blessed. Back in the condition they're in, they'll never come to God till they get saved. I'll tell you, get it safeguard for the glory of God. Whoop, I guess that went over well. I'm going to tell you that stride, and I'll tell you, they're growing by leaks and bounds. We pass one as we go to church. We drive 50 miles almost when we go to our home church. Somebody said, I wouldn't drive that far. I said, preacher, you can find another. Thank God. I'm glad the church is alive's worth the drive. Amen. Thank God. I want to tell you, and we pass one. Brother Epps, as you're coming out 80, they're on the right. I'll tell you, they've turned that in. I'll tell you, to a circus. I'll tell you, God ain't in that, but they've had to make the parking lot bigger. They're adding on. They say they're growing beliefs and bounds. They're trying to do it, brother, but they ain't doing it God's way. Ain't it in God's way? Hey, friend, it ain't going to count if it ain't God's way. Now, I know what they say. They say, you preacher, that's too old fashioned. Is that right? When Jesus got through talking to the disciples, they said, Lord, who then can be saved? When we get to heaven, Brother Wells, I'll tell you, the Lord ain't going to stop us and say, you can't come in. You're too spiritual. You got too holy. You preach too hard. You give us too much of the Bible. No, I'll tell you, that's what it takes to get people in. I'll tell you what they're doing tonight. I got saved. Preaching the Word of God. David said, let my mother and my father stay here till I know what God will do for me. What'd he do, preacher? Put him in safeguard. Give him strength. Showed goodness. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know you're hungry. Lord, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you, Lord, for the good preaching last night. Lord, yesterday afternoon, this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll bless Brother John. Give him the leadership that he needs, Lord, I pray, to continue on with the meeting, the service tonight, in the morning, tomorrow night. Oh, God, I pray that you'd show up, God. Lord, please, please help people get to where they need to be, Lord, with you. I pray, God, when it's all said and done, people could leave the house of God and say it's been good of being with God's people. Lord, we love you. Thank you, dear God, for loving us. Thank you for saving our soul, giving us, Lord, what you give us. Lord, something that nobody else can take it and come close to. Lord, home in heaven when this life is over. Lord, you bless now. Do what needs to be done. Thank you for your promise, Lord, that you give us, that your word will not return void, but accomplish that which you please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.